3, 2, 1.
Welcome everybody to Back to the Podcast, AMP Podcast, Adventure and Activity Marketing Pros. My name is Jaden, along with Steve, and
what is up?
We are recording today here in the office, and on the call and on video with us is the boys over at Wave Res. So we got Greg Fisher and Luke. How you guys doing today?
Great.
Good. Thanks, guys, for having us.
Cool. Awesome, guys. So we wanted to bring you guys on because you guys are in an interesting spot down there, but also too, you guys have a pretty awesome little booking engine that's dedicated for water sports. And that's kind of something we wanted to talk about today, introduce you guys, tell a little bit about how you guys got started in that, kind of who's your ideal customers for it, and go from there. And then, you know, just kind of talk shop too.
Yeah, I'm pretty interested in finding out. I know you guys do a lot in the rental space, and there's not a lot of platforms that are great for tour operators on the rental side. So I am very interested to hear what you guys have to say about this.
Awesome. Well, we look forward to sharing. Got a lot to dive into when it comes to water sports and tours, because it is somewhat of a up and coming segment of tours and activities, and a lot of folks are starting to realize that there's a lot more to just selling from walk-ups. There's a much bigger piece of the pie they can get by getting virtual and distributing their products. So yeah, it's a great discussion and great time to have the discussion too.
Yeah, I suppose everybody now, as we come into spring and we're over the winter hump here, or it's starting to look a little bit like spring out there, I'm sure every operator is figuring out, how are we going to get more bookings this spring? How are we going to rent out all those jet skis, boats, pontoons? Should be a good year. So I think there's a lot of interest in the market. So I guess let's start off. I mean, you guys created a software. Greg, you're the you're this founder that's created a booking software. What led you down that road?
So Waver is somewhat of our sister company to TripShock. TripShock is an online travel agency. And we'll talk, in context of TripShock, how it applies to Waver is more in our call. But that's how it started out. So TripShock, we had a handful of operators back in 2012, 2013, that were getting so much business from us. And how our agency worked is we would send bookings via email. And if you can imagine, we're sending some operators like hundreds of emails a week of bookings, and how unorganized that can be.
Sure.
So one operator basically said that if it's going to continue like this, then they're not going to just be able to handle the volume anymore like it. So it led myself and my business partner, Alex Benko, down this path where let's create a simple tool for them to manage their reservations. So we did that. And then from that tool, everyone wanted more features. So then you have WaveRes is born. But we didn't call it WaveRes from the start. We just pretty much pull something out of our ass, a book RS, nice. RS standing for reservation system. And for 4 or 5 years, we just kind of used this tool, and more operators joined on, but we kind of treated it as just that, like more of a tool and not a company. And during those years, we missed out on such a huge opportunity, because what happened was we focused on our OTA, which done great, but you got the Fair Harbors, the Peaks, and all these other big reservation softwares that came into our market and just took away that opportunity for us to really like dominate. Like if we would have been on it from 2012, 2013, mm-hmm. it would have been awesome for us. But we just, we didn't see the opportunity like we did with our OTA. And, I'm not going to go down that road to tell you like what I could have and should have done, but,
sure.
I'm glad in a way that a lot of operators did adopt reservation softwares. Most of them that in our space. If they haven't already, they're looking at doing it.
Yep.
Yeah. And that was the bigger thing that came out of it. So then we decided, if we're going to go the reservation system route, we don't want to be the one of everything. We want to do something really well with a segment of the industry. Attractions work a lot different than a water sport rental company. Yep. I mean, there's so many different, they can be completely different industries if you want to call it that. But we decided that we're just going to go after this niche of products, because that's 90% of our products we sell on TripShock are water-based. So let's focus on the water-based products, specifically rentals, and let's do that really, really well. Yep. So we really doubled down the past few years on water sport rentals. I feel like our interface is one of the best as far as dealing with like high volume rental operators. And that's what we just went down that track. So we end up rebranding in 2019 to WaveRes, just to kind of, encapsulate all of who we're trying to go after, what our product is. We change a lot of the verbiage on the platform. So it's more congruent with rental and water sports. And that's kind of where the direction we want to go in. We want to be the leader in water sport rental software. And we're hitting the ground running this year. We think this year with the pandemic, a lot of people want to be outside. They want to be in coastal markets. The opportunity is really big. And that's kind of where we see it. Am I missing anything, Luke?
No. I think it's good to point out that, there's some of these other operators or these other software companies that do reservation systems are kind of everything fits all or one size fits all. And it doesn't necessarily work in the water sports industry. So really niche down and focus there in terms of, rentals and water sports specifically. So that's kind of the genesis of how WaveRes came to be from its branding perspective.
Yeah, I think that's, I think it's very interesting that it's entirely focused on that water sport rental space. You and I have talked, Greg, being in the rental space myself, it's the software's challenging. And when you see the offerings out there or what, you're 100% correct. The current booking engines are not totally flushed out for rental operators. And the problem is a lot of the rental software out there isn't flushed out for jet ski, Jeep, short-term rental operators. I mean, it's great if I want to rent a Jeep for, 3 days like you would through Enterprise, but it's challenging when you're trying to do 1 hour, 2 hour rentals and you've got to manage a fleet of small equipment. So when I, messing with your platform and digging into it, that is the big benefit that I've seen. It's fantastic if you're running a small rental operation, or when I say small, a non-huge enterprise budget rent-a-car type operation.
Yeah, we don't take offense to that. That's the kind of the customer we want, the small to medium-sized business with fleets of, 30 to 50 pieces of equipment. I actually battle hardened WaveRes with my own jet ski business in Orange Beach, Alabama. And we made sure that you can actually operate this with one person, with multiple pieces of equipment, with small intervals. Like you hit it on the head when you said there's a lot of softwares that will do like multi-day rentals pretty easily using like existing infrastructure, like Google calendars. But when you think about like jet skis, for example, like a lot of these guys are renting them out every 15 minutes or every 15 minutes you can. So you need to really combine a lot of, different schedules and tools in order to make this go and get the most money out of every single trip. Because some softwares, it's like you can only book by the hour or book by the half hour. You're not going to make money on kayaks and jet skis, or you're not going to make the kind of money unless you have extreme flexibility where they can book online. Everything stays in sync. There's just so many things that go into it that you're not going to be able to do if you have a general reservation software, because you're trying to appease the walking tour people, the free sell attractions. And I mean, we found it really difficult to have like a one size fits all solution. We just had to like pick it and go. Another example I'll give you, like on TripShock, we decided to part ways with probably 50 different private fishing charter captains and just private charter overall, because of our business tech, our tech really didn't fit what they were expecting. Like what they wanted was us to take the commission and then the customer would come and pay them cash when they got there. But that model just did not fit what we were trying to do. And we really do a lot more with multi-passenger vessels and rentals. So we said, you know what, if we're going to go in that direction with taking a small deposit and that, then we need to either go all in or not at all, because it's becoming too difficult to scale a company and build the right infrastructure when every operator, every type of operator wants something different. And that's kind of what we had to like say with WaveRes. We just need to focus on where the meat is and go for it.
So that was my question, because like, even kind of what we do with an agency, I mean, we're running our own business. You mentioned that you put this on your own, tour jet ski rental company. Do you see it that like you had the opportunity to go to these people that weren't using a booking software to get them on, rather than the people that are looking for the best booking software? You know what I mean? You probably brought it to their attention and said, hey, I got a great booking software just for your jet ski company. Or you probably did bring it to the fishing charter guys, and then, you know, you realize that didn't work. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So when we first rolled out WaveRes, we were able to get a lot of folks that worked on TripShock and just didn't have any software yet. And it was a pretty easy sell because we had the partnership and they really trusted that we were going to put a quality product and support it well. But when it came to the whole fishing situation, we did actually offer the operators the opportunity to use our software. And some of them took us up on it. At this point, if you're not in real time and you're an online distributor and you're selling someone's product, it's just very difficult to run a company when you're not real time. Just that's how the business works now. So we have integrations, from the TripShock side with Fair Harbor, and then WaveRes has an integration with TripShock. If you're going to have distribution, it needs to work with your company, especially if you're selling stuff online. No one wants to get hundreds of emails with booking requests and having to fulfill those in the middle of the day. If you've ever been down at a high volume water sport operator and seen what their locations look like in the middle of summer, there's like 60 people all hovered around a booth. They're filling out paperwork. Do you really think that people have time to check the email and see reservations coming in for that day? So it's really, the technology has changed and made us a little, selfish.
Sure.
Because it's like, we're not going to go back to where it was before of getting email requests and all that. So we have to really make with the times. And that's why with WaveRes, you do have an ability to connect with Reserve with Google and TripShock. And a lot of our WaveRes partners don't use more than just one. They pretty much just stick with one OTA because it's just so much work having to manually work with distributors.
Yeah.
Even to that point, I mean, you said, you know, dealing with people filling out paper because of like walk-up traffic, right? So you almost kind of had to, I mean, because we all, you know, been to Key West and, you know, been in all those places that, you know, have all the walk-up destination, we like to call it, right? Like where people make their decision when they're there, right? And that's kind of where you guys are like, hey, this software can also help you manage your inventory better. But then, I mean, it seems like it's got a better content, you know what I mean? A distribution to it as well. You know what I mean? So I think that's great. And I think, Luke, what were you going to say something or going to?
Yeah. I mean, I was just going to pop in here because, you know, when I'm talking to people, you know, potential partners, you know, you mentioned walk-ups and some of that stuff being hectic, as Greg said, with emails and whatever. Are people like, you know, walking up and just wanting something and you're not really necessarily knowing what sort of inventory you have available, you know, due to equipment stuff. But, you know, like our software also allows you to do walk-ups really easily from, you know, from a phone, from a iPad, from a laptop at the dock. So you can see everything real time, you know, in the back end of the software. And it's all synced with online too, and in the OTA in the case of TripShock. So, you know, it still covers that aspect because we still think, you know, and same with phone orders too. It's like a breadth of how people get their, their reservations is going to be, you know, a chunk of it's going to be walk up, chunk of it's going to be phone, chunk of it's going to be from their website, chunk of it might be from an OTA or some other sort of source. So WayRes really does a good job of covering all those different options, which I think is key as well. We're not trying to pull everyone online or everything in one different way. We're trying to handle how the business actually operates in you know, in the real world.
For sure.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that managing that walk-up traffic is such a challenge for a lot of operators. And when you see how they do it, it's such a hodgepodge of like, hey, we've got how they manage a lot of those operations. You can see it's like the old school operators of day where it's basically taken down on a note and they've got their written contracts and it's, and John Smith has taken out this jet ski and it's, very interesting how technology has pushed some of that along.
Yeah. Here's the issue, guys. The mobile phone just has changed everything when it comes to booking.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think we probably would be okay with, you know, the email process if mobile phones didn't exist, because there'd be more time to take care of online bookings. But now that the phones exist, everything is happening very last minute, and everything, and that's why no one wants to ever go back. Like that, it's we've already established that most bookings for water sports are happening over the phone, either by someone calling or they're booking over their phone. So you got to, now we just have to move forward with the technology and deal in this, you know, work in this new world, new ecosystem. So
yeah, for sure. So a question on that, because I mean, I love your guys' software, and I think it's a cool story of how you can be niched down into a space for the water sports. But let's talk a little bit about kind of how you got there. You know what I mean? Tell me where you're from. You know what I mean? What do you guys do? Because we like to introduce people and put some faces on this podcast of just, you know, the people that are in the industry. So tell us a little bit about like where you're from. What do you do? You know what I mean? What's kind of your area? You live now in Destin, right? Is that where you moved to, Greg?
Correct. Yep. I'm originally from just outside Detroit. That's how I grew up. And when I was just before I graduated high school, I moved down to Florida in Destin. And I went to college in Central Florida, University of Central Florida. I did tourism. I moved back here. I worked in hotels. And then I met a local businesswoman who owned a very large tour boat operation, did charter fishing boat tours. And that's when I kind of really started to fall in love with just this industry. I thought it was unique. I thought it was kind of on the cusp of big things happening. And the first thing I did when I got there was I got this operation on all of the OTAs. They were the first tour operation, I think probably Northwest Florida, to use OTAs for ticketing. And they crushed it because they were the only ones. And Expedia, Travelocity, Orbitz, they were all kind of just starting to get their, you know, their feet wet in this space. And people were just adding it to their vacations. It was just a simple thing. So we decided that we can do this ourselves. We have the ability, and the business ownership is very motivated to take me up on the ideas. And that's when we kind of put Trip Shack together. And I did that for several years. And it's obviously still do Trip Shack, but coming out of that, I was able to bring on a partner with Trip Shack. We've had some shuffling in our ownership, and we got a really strong team that is growing this thing leaps and bounds. But WaveRes was something I said, or like from the beginning, we wanted a tool for them to get reservation. It was more of out of necessity that we needed a reservation system, and I'm really glad we did it. I wish we were, you know, 5 years ahead, and kind of knew how this was going to blow up. If I had any idea that every operator in 2020 would have a reservation system, I probably would have thought a lot differently. But Overall, I'm just really glad that this industry has got to this point, because it has made working as an OTA easier when folks are using a reservation system.
Yeah. I mean, that's, it first off facilitates the booking so much easier the old classic ways. And you see a lot of these operators that were running on weird WordPress plugins from their non-responsive websites and some of that sort of stuff, like their first booking systems. But the one thing I'll say that I, you know, and we're not necessarily talking about TripShock, but the one thing I'm going to applaud you guys on is the fact that your guys's OTA is the only one I've ever seen that has customer support or has a phone system where you can call in and book. And you and I, you know, again, we know how many bookings for rental operators happen over the phone. And the fact that you guys actually have live support or a live customer service is incredible. I think it's, I think it probably puts your guys' OTA far and above every other OTA out there.
Well, the interesting thing about it is if I think the, if the OTAs actually looked at their data, and I'm sure they do, but
I would hope they do. Shows,
first of all, 40% of our calls are converted into bookings. Yeah. So that's then, and our average booking is somewhere around, you know, $200 when it's over the phone.
Yep.
Those numbers make it completely viable.
Sure.
And I find it weird that not more OTAs are investing heavily, but some of them, it's like, it's just not in their model. It's they want to push online bookings. They don't want to deal with the call center. And there are some service failures when you do get like an outsourced call center involved and maybe they want to avoid those service failures, but we found a nice niche with ours. Everyone works from home. We have a great management. It's just a very strong process that we perfected. I would even say it's somewhat of a trade secret of how we've been able to manage this, but getting rid of the phones would be a disastrous part because, you know, we're in an area where weather cancels a lot of stuff, reschedules a lot of stuff. We need really solid people to answer the phones in order to rebook on other activities. And with water sports, it has a really good, there's really good commissions in it. And it also it's a high dollar amount. Yep. You go parasailing for four people, you're looking, you know, at $300, a pontoon boat rental for a full day is $500 plus in summer. So we're not talking small tickets. In fact, if you look at some markets, that could be a hotel room for three nights.
Yep. Yeah, I think I agree. I mean, you know, and it's part of our reason for working with tour operators. Obviously, there's a lot of direction you can go, but it's very challenging to have effective marketing if you're trying to sell $4 fish sandwiches, right? And I say that just because I keep seeing the Popeyes ad for their new fish sandwich.
Speaking of fish sandwich, I want a fish sandwich like so good.
Sorry.
Like, that's our side. We haven't had our side moments yet because this is honestly
this is serious.
This is a serious in-depth conversation. And what is this Popeyes fish sandwich? Is that at Popeyes?
Do you guys have a Popeyes in Destin?
I mean, no. they got to have a Popeyes. Really?
You don't have Popeyes? Maybe. Not in Destin, but there's one, I think maybe in Fort Walton, there's a Popeyes.
Do you know how great Popeyes is?
Great. I don't know. Luke, do you have a Popeyes up there? No?
What is
it? No, I'm in the middle of nowhere.
What? Okay, so.
I feel like I'm you know, this is like the people that are like into Chick-fil-A, but they're like, oh my God, I'm going to go there and I'm going to have Chick-fil-A or In-N-Out Burger.
Chick-fil-A is where it's at.
Yeah, it is. We're a Chick-fil-A
family.
Yeah, me too.
I think you're a Chick-fil-A family because you've never had Popeyes.
No, I've had both.
I like Popeyes way better.
If we had Popeyes nearby, I'd probably eat Popeyes. Popeyes has a little bit of a spice, but Chick-fil-A is just, there's something for everyone to love.
Okay, yeah. So I see this commercial all day long.
When you got 5 and 8 year old, I mean that. Yeah, you get the it's like 30 nuggets because
yeah. How so many addicted? How many heart platters did you have for your kids over the weekend with the chicken nuggets? The 30 count. That's what I get. I got three boys.
Oh, the 30. Oh,
that's a lot of just chicken nuggets. That cost you like $87.
Oh, you don't go for the 30 counts because I mean 10 for dad, 20 for the kids.
Every now and then we'll go for them, but. You know, they want that damn toy.
I know. So McDonald's, we use Steve told me this, the McDonald's app is probably the best one, but the best deal on the McDonald's app is buy one, get one free Happy Meals because you get it's $5 off and that's the best coupon you can get on the app.
Download the McDonald's app, Greg. It'll change your life.
It will.
It's a game changer. Sorry, we didn't mean to divert, but I did all I can, I think about that chicken sandwich or the fish sandwich because I saw the ad this morning again. And I'm like, I'm probably going to have a fish sandwich for lunch.
Yeah.
They've really been pushing it hard.
So let's bring in Luke up there.
Luke hasn't got to say anything.
Luke hasn't even said like where he's from, what he does. You know what I mean? Like,
what do you do here, Luke?
Luke, so like, what's the relationships with customers that you have? Tell them about that. So, I mean, this is your chance to introduce yourself.
Yeah. So, I'm actually, like Greg said, we're all remote. So I live in the Northeast, in Massachusetts, in Western Mass, out in the country of Western Massachusetts here. So the way that kind of worked out is, I went to school in Boston at Northeastern for marketing and entrepreneurship and ran some of my own businesses and stuff like that. And then I actually got linked up with Greg's business partner in his prior business, which was kind of doing what you guys were doing. It was very much hosting for websites and then in WordPress hosting and stuff like that. And it kind of that business transformed into website development and e-commerce things and stuff like that. So I know the world that you guys come from. And then, over the years doing that, I got involved. Obviously you guys know you're just kind of working with all sorts of businesses, whoever comes to the door. So you're working with some tourism stuff, some, e-commerce stuff, whatever, all the different areas. And then,
keyword
partner out into Trip Shock side of things and building out WaveRes, I just transferred into that full time and moved into doing Trip Shock and working over there in kind of a similar role. And then as Greg and,
your mic kind of lost you on you. It kind of faded out on you.
Oh, no worries.
There you go.
There we go.
My bad. As Greg and Alex started rebranding Trip Shock and kind of getting that on its own legs, they brought me in there as sales, marketing, management, a little bit of everything, and also product overall. So just building out the actual piece of software and talking to customers and getting ideas for new features and stuff. And so that's kind of my story moving into where I'm at with WaveRes.
Yeah.
Sure, a long way from the water. I mean, you're not that far from the water, but you're definitely not like near any fun water.
Well, that's the thing I did want to mention too. So I'm definitely somewhat a long way from the water. I'm 2 hours or so from the coast, but then, there's a lot of lakes and stuff too around, Lake Winnipesaukee, one of the bigger lakes in the Northeast is in New Hampshire. And so, our stuff does really well for jet skis in the water.
What was that? Lake Winnipesaukee? What was that again?
Spell that
for me. What is
it? I'm just kidding.
There's no way.
What? I was like, I'm pretty good at geography, and that's one I would never even like. Northeast is actually like a hidden. I've never been to the Northeast. New York City, I've been up there. But yeah, never to Boston, never to that Massachusetts area.
Say that again. The what area?
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts, he's got it.
Isn't that right?
I just had a clown on you.
Is that right though?
So many S's, right? So many S's.
It is. It's been a while.
Some people say, but yeah, Winnipesaukee is a big lake in New Hampshire. It's based. It's the name is just like it's probably some sort of Indian name. But what I was trying to say too is like, we're focused on water sports in the coastal region, but obviously there's a ton of jet ski rental places on lakes, a ton of pontoon boat rentals on lakes, and I think our software also works super good for like up in the Northeast. There's a ton of snowmobile tours and stuff like that. Very similar type of equipment. ATV tour is very similar type of equipment. So stuff like that where, there's refueling, there's all those sorts of things. We also work great for that. So I did want to mention that because we're obviously niched in water sports, but I think that it could, we could branch out a little bit. Into
WaveRes can also be snow res, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
So that was my next question is Greg, Luke, how is WaveRes ready for world domination? How are you guys going to take over the snow rental business? Take over the UTV rental business. Take over. Obviously you're crushing it at water, but there's a lot of water. You only cover like a little hook right now, right? We're only in a little hook of the US. Yeah. How do we cover the rest of this?
Well, here's the thing. Like we're just taking it, a little at a time. We don't.
Greg, you're welcome to talk shit. I'm ready for you to talk shit.
Yeah.
We could play, the sales game where we hire a huge team of salespeople and bug the shit out of every operator in the world. But we're very calculated on who we partner. Like, we actually treat it as a partnership.
Sure.
And Luke will tell you, there's times he talks to people and he's like, you know what? I don't think this is going to be a good client for us, because this of the support resources, we have really good support people and good account executives that really know their stuff. And do we want to sign up a client that probably is going to get no online bookings, because our whole pricing model is performance based. Sure. So why sign up somebody that might be a part-time fishing captain that might get like one booking a week, and the booking's probably going to be over the phone and it's not going to be online, which that wouldn't net us any magical revenue.
That's a magical.
So we're very critical on who we bring into our ecosystem. Like, even with TripShox, the same way, we just don't sign up anybody that wants to join. We want to make sure that we can help them. And at the same time, we can generate enough revenue, so it's worth keeping our team sustainable and growing our company. I believe a lot of the issue with just the reservation software world is they are just taking, it's a land grab.
Yeah.
And they're taking every operator that will sign up with them, and not necessarily the ones that are making them money and using their resources the right way. Just imagine, you know, signing up 1,000 really small operators that are, they're not investing in their online presence. They're not marketing themselves. They're not paying. Like, I think by now, I think we can all agree that like most of the pricing models for reservation systems are performance-based.
Yep.
So why even bother working with somebody that has no interest in marketing themselves? All their 90% of their bookings are going to be over the phone, which doesn't help you out. So we're trying to create, you know, a kind of a community of operators that really care, that are willing to market themselves. And it kind of, you know, segues into, our relationship of, recommending clients to the AMP, because we want operators to have better web presences, because that's going to make sure that our success with that client is going to come to fruition. Nothing's worse than getting them all set up on WaveRes and telling them they're going to rock it out, and then all of a sudden they're not getting bookings, and then they're looking at us like we're responsible for it. But really, it's their lack of marketing. Like, we can give them all the tools in the world, but they have to get out there and spend some money to market themselves.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, that's actually true. I mean, so we actually built a website for one of your guys' clients, the Luther's Pontoon. And I mean, we talked about that too before we even did that. You know what I mean? Like, hey, I think, you know, this is a great business. You guys knew that by knowing his traffic that he was getting on your booking system. But you also think that it helps an operator to have a good looking website. You know what I mean? Not only with a good booking engine to make more sales. You know what I mean? So I think that's a key point to what you said.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what he does this year. I think that website came out super great. I mean, I love it. I think it looks really nice.
And,
I think it'll be interesting to see what, if there's a huge uptick in business, and, you know, obviously we don't know his numbers like that, but you know, how much of it came from WaveRes and how much of it was through an OTA. And, you know, we're obviously in the business. We want customers to get more bookings around the whole entire platform. And you guys are playing both sides of it. You want them to get more bookings direct, and you want them to do the WaveRes and the TripShox side of it. So,
yeah, let's talk about that for a second, because I think there's just some misinformation around working with a booking system that also is part of an OTA. I think for TripShox WaveRes partnership, if I had a small business and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to open up a water sport company and I have no marketing background, but I can provide a really great, you know, great trip. I don't have a lot of money to spend on marketing. I need something turnkey. I need to be able to get a reservation software. I need to get distribution.
Yep.
Now, we can't do this in all markets, but just imagine signing up for a reservation system that has a distribution arrangement. And on day one, you're already listed on one of the biggest distribution networks in your area.
Sure.
I mean, we have tons of affiliates. We're SEO. We're spending millions of dollars on PPC. I mean, literally day one. Now you got to pay a commission for the bookings you get from the distributor. But at the same time, you're plug and play. Yep. Man, you set up your reservation system. You get a website. You got the distribution. Yep. Boom. Like, you are ready to rock and roll. And there are operators that have signed up with us on WaveRes, and they just day one, you know, they're starting to get bookings, and they wouldn't get that just from their own marketing efforts. Yep. They're brand new. I mean, they're not getting indexed yet. You know, they're competing with a lot of other operators, especially like in like dolphin tours or fishing or jet skis. There's a lot of competition. So you're not going to get the organic traffic right away. So technically, I mean, you got to look at it. You're almost renting the traffic.
You 100%
you're paying a commission. But I'll tell you, nothing's better than just plug and play, and you're ready to go. You got a software, you're getting bookings. They're just coming right in. I mean, that's ideally, that's how I see our entire enterprise here is, we can make a turnkey product for new operators and people that have already been around for a long time. You know, we can kind of enhance their, what they currently have.
To touch on that, I mean, it's kind of like you're kind of going into like the business in a box, or like, you know, franchise, just like when franchises, you're buying a Subway, you know what I'm saying, to get kind of that renting that advertising traffic or whatever. Same thing with yours. Like, I wish that there was more operators starting up brand new businesses, you know what I mean? Where we could say, hey, we can get you on our WaveRes software. We can get you on, you know, distribution, and we can get you a website all in 7 days. You know what I mean? Like, that would be an ideal customer for all of us, right? But knowing that there's so many existing businesses out there, you play the, you know, the back and forth of, like you said, hey, you're an existing business, but this can make your business better. But yeah, I mean, I wish there's more people that would be able to find us, just, you know what I mean, just straight out of the box, right? I think that would be killer.
Well, and to that, I think one of the big things that people, operators especially, miss is they put a ton of money into boats, they've built up great operations, but they don't really ever flush out their strategy to get customers. And where you're talking about bringing somebody on and they're getting bookings right away through RocketRes and through the listing on TripShock, you know, where they're getting bookings through the OTA side of it. That is, you know, the biggest problem with a lot of OTAs, or the bad taste that people have in their mouth about OTAs, is they don't get partner support. So back to like the whole telephone side of it, the getting bookings. I mean, you know, we've all looked at all these other OTAs, and, you know, we don't need to bring them up, but they're terrible. It sucks. You list your stuff, you give a high commission, and you just lack the support to actually get bookings aggressively.
Yeah.
Where I think yours, and I've dug into yours quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I think yours is great. I think it's awesome how it lists off the products, mm-hmm. and it treats, instead of it treating your business as, if you want to call it a jet ski tour, it does treat it as like its own individual website and what products your company offers.
Yeah. And what we do too is, you know, Luke helped kind of put this all together, and it worked out perfectly, but we want our WaveRes clients to have a little more push on TripShock because they are part of the entire ecosystem. You know, they're on both sides, so they do get featured placement. We're not shy about it too. Like, you work for WaveRes, you're going to get a little more love on TripShock because we want to create, you know, we want to kind of reward partners that are working on both sides of the table for us. And we don't push it in a aggressive way. We just say, hey, if you work with WaveRes, this is one way where we can differentiate ourselves. Because if you look at the other software, especially the ones with $100 million worth of funding, they got some bells and whistles we're going to play catch up. So we just double down on what is important to the operators based on surveys.
We also
looked at how can we leverage TripTrack to help them even more, to create more of that turnkey feel. And the featured placement that they get featured placement all throughout TripShock. TripShock has a ton of traffic. So boom, like day one, they're right there in the sponsored listings. They're getting eyeballs. And that's really the power. I mean, we created a very powerful marketing platform.
Hey, great.
Which costs $0 to start.
So question for you though, because I mean, this is, I don't want to say it's a tough question, but it, I mean, it could be like,
yeah.
Think about too, like, I mean, we were at a rival and we've gone to like those discussions or panels. Would you be able to say that though? Like how you just said, like if you were a TripAdvisor, you know what I mean? Like kind of mm-hmm. how TripAdvisor was like, well, if they use Boken, right? You know what I mean? We're going to give them more love on TripAdvisor. I mean, is that kind of like a, that's like a growing problem, like being so big compared to being not as many customers?
You know, when we talk to our operators and they say, hey, how do we get on that featured placement? They can actually pay to be on it. Oh. So they don't have to be a WaveRes partner. They can, and a lot of them do. Mm-hmm. I mean, we sell quite a bit of featured placement.
Sure.
And we do offer them, hey, if you go on WaveRes and they're like, oh, we're good with Fair Harbor and we love Fair Harbor. We're great. We're really close with them. We even recommend them if we don't feel like WaveRes clients are the right fit. And I think, you know, by staying neutral and being friends with everybody, the industry is the way to go. Like we don't ever.
Is that what we should start doing? You know. Is start recommending some other ad agencies if they don't make sense? Like no, you know, you guys seem like good people, but we're gonna pass you over to these guys.
At the end of the day, there's people who really.
I want to hear what Luke. Hold on. What do you got, Luke?
Greg, we almost got to give you the tea. We had to do this to Kevin a little bit. You and Kevin got a pod. They got their own podcast too, guys. In case you guys haven't checked it out. And tell them what it is, Greg, because I'm going to jumble the name again. It's Awkward Water Sports.
Awkward Water Sport Guys podcast.
Yep, Awkward Water Sports Guys. So he's the other side. So that guy that we did the True Hollywood story on last couple days ago or whatever, that's the other guy. This is the other guy we're talking about.
I'm the yang to the
yang. You are definitely the yang. But that is Luke, no shit.
Luke, go ahead on this. And from here on out, let's keep it casual. I got some more questions that we haven't even got into because we've been talking so into the business.
This is serious shit.
Luke, I'm going to let Luke jump in here because he...
Good.
No, I just wanted to go back to the world domination side of things.
I like the world domination. I want somebody to talk some shit.
Kind of. Drop the bomb. No, you don't have to.
I think it's important to note, like, yeah, we are a software as a service business, but we're literally cash flow driven. We're not funded. So it's like, we're a real company and it's much more important for us to build relationships with our customers than it is to like, just blow out our, you know, our user numbers so we can impress investors for the next round or whatever. So with that being said, it's like, you know, we're not out here with a 10 person sales team, just crushing, you know, emails to everyone and their mother so we can pull out the user numbers. We're out here to provide a good service that works for people. And we're available to talk on the phone, and those relationships are much more important to us than the numbers. So that differentiates us a lot. And I think that's kind of a strategy that people forget in this world where everything's just ripping and, you know, whatever, no one gives a shit about actual, like being involved with their customers, just get your numbers up. So I think keeping it real, for lack of a better term, is kind of one of our competitive advantages as well.
I think, you know, I like that. And that is the correct response from Greg being a business owner, myself being a business owner. I think everybody shuns away venture capital until venture capital comes and bangs on their door. I mean, if one of the knocks that happened on my door while we were in this podcast was, was VC. If it was, Peter Thiel was at my door and he's like, Steve, what you're doing is amazing. I'd love to give you a bunch of cash. I mean,
I'd talk to him.
I would sit down with him.
We've had probably at least six, maybe seven serious offers over the past 12 years.
Yeah.
For TripShock and WaveRes, a couple for WaveRes, but I kind of look back at, I'm having a lot of fun.
Sure.
And
something to be
doing what I'm though, doing. Yeah. And the offers weren't, it wasn't a $250 million offer like Fair Harbor got, it was, pretty much here's what you've done all, you know, here's what we think your work is valued over 12 years. Yep. And I'm just like, I think there's a lot more work to be done and I'm only 35 years old. So, you know, why jump into something that I think has so much more potential, and I love doing it. So, We haven't taken any capital, none in 12 years. We built everything organically. We took a little bit of bank financing. Alex and I have made some smart investments in real estate and other ventures in order to make, you know, make this process easier. But
bootstrapped.
I mean, I'll tell you, I have a lot of respect for people bootstrapping and growing organically, but people absolutely love our brand. We have great culture within our staff. We have very, very, very little turnover. And I think that's because we're not owned by someone who's, you know, they're looking for numbers, they're looking for results. And we do, I mean, we get that anyways, but sure. We're not under the pressure.
It's great. Is Greg poaching us here? Is he recruiting us to come work for him or what? Is that what you,
like, know, maybe.
Hey, Greg, yeah, coming, going to Florida. Sorry, Steve.
I just
leaving.
I agree with you. I mean, I think there's something to be said because, you know, you've owned a couple businesses and you've done it, you know, the bootstrapping it is fine, but when you look at like the VC side of it, and I mean, this is a weird rabbit hole. That's not everybody's topic, but when you think about the idea of like bootstrapping it, and you've had those days where you've probably needed to hire some more people and you don't have enough, you know, the cash flow doesn't make sense and you need to grow. The idea of VC always seems sexy or seems intriguing. But you're right. I mean, you know, the valuations have to make sense and then you're a corporate slut and then you're, you know,
don't you think it's ridiculous how, I mean, I'll just say within tours and activities, yeah, it seems like the companies that are growing organically never get the headlines.
They don't.
It's the companies getting the $5, $10, $30, $100 million.
Yeah.
And you know, these companies are just burning cash. Like,
oh yeah.
Oh, they're so far from profitable.
Yeah. But I understand like they're not being valued based on how profitable they're being valued about how much, you know, data they're getting,
but
or
you can,
how many clients they're.
That's the tech San Francisco. I mean, you can buy that publicity. You know what I mean? Like all those articles when everybody gets acquired or anybody raises money. I mean, that's just some PR decision wire right there. You know what I mean? Like you're on all the articles, but then that's it. Like you don't hear nothing else unless you Google them and then they got, oh, they raised this much money or they got acquired for this much money. That's it. They're not in the headlines for anything else.
I can't tell you how many people in our space have reached out over the years that have had 5, 10, even 20 million plus in funding wanting to sell their assets because it didn't work out.
Yeah.
So, and I'm blown away that people could raise 10 million plus or even a million
and burn that shit down
and burn it. That shit. And I said, we have some ways to really get frugal with our, you know, with our spending, but you have to, like when you're growing organically, you don't have those choices. Like you have to think outside the box when you're marketing and you got to learn a lot of things yourself. So, I mean, I'm just really proud of what we built and we did it, you know, we did it without having to give our right leg and left arm and it's been great.
Hasn't every small business operator wished that they had what would be called cash burn, like that's just not a thing. If you're burning cash, it just is called not being profitable. And how long can you not be profitable?
Either you have a business or you don't.
Yeah.
Having a business means you're making money.
Yes.
And it seems like it'd be really sexy that you just burn a shitload of money. And I understand. I'm not like saying that I don't get the whole thing, but I mean, at what point do you have to look at yourself and say, okay, yeah, I got a million customers through this whole poor process, like that one company, MoviePass.
Yeah,
yeah,
they went bankrupt, and yeah, they had.
You always told me subscribers.
I loved it; it was great.
That was your tech of the thing.
Subscribers, they had the model and everything, and they kept getting money and financing, but they just couldn't make a profit. You know, at what point is this like either they sell, or they figure out a way to turn it around and maybe go public. I don't know, but
and they just kept diluting their shares until it went to literally zero.
What was that that app that just came out that had that TV Parler. App that
oh, no. Oh,
no, 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 no.
We're talking about stocks. What are you talking about?
No, I'm not. I'm talking that stock that just came out that got bought by Hulu, where they had like Kevin Hart and they all had their own shows and Quibi. There you go. And it had raised like $1 billion, and they sold to Hulu for pennies on the dollar.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, fire sale for like $250 million or something.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But
yeah.
That's what I'm saying. We're talking about it from the operator standpoint, like sit, take VC money and get your payday and be out. But like we haven't done that. We're not planning to do that. So like from a customer's perspective, that's why I say it's a competitive advantage, because we're not like, you know, like we're picking up the phone when someone calls us because we care about them. Which is like, nah, you're number 20 on our list. Like, shut up and just be a number for us. So that's when I say that, that's what I, you know, I think it's important, because these days it's just crazy. You have all these, you have a ton of customers, a ton of people that are doing businesses that make no money and don't care. But they still get paid somehow. So we got to work to get paid. And so we provide a good service and talk with our customers. And
yeah, you could be either driven by your customers or driven by investors. And I think there's a lot of companies in our space that are driven by investor just by looking at the decisions they make.
Yep.
We're driven by our customers. Our customers have a lot of say in the direction of where we go. We survey them a lot. And we've built a smart pricing model where we can sustain and grow, at the same time, you know, adding value to our support department, our development department, and everything. So we're all making money together. That's kind of where it needs to be.
Yeah. Do you think so kind of to get off the business side of things and go kind of into your activity space? Do you guys think, we all talked about the 2020 year in water sports and how it was, you know, a boom year for kind of outdoor stuff, right? There was mm-hmm. technically that boom. What do you guys think, or what are your predictions of kind of 2021 and going in? Oh, market's closed.
That is the market's closed, guys. Sell your stocks.
That's my notifications GameStop on there. Okay. But what's your predictions in 2021? I mean, with like spring break coming up, you know what I mean? Summer this year. I mean, there's a lot of talk about that. So let's kind of go into that. Like, what's your opinions, thoughts on that?
So I think it's going to be a really good spring and summer. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a continuation of 2020. Obviously, the pandemic has benefited outdoor and mountain destinations, or I would say outdoor mountain and beach destinations, or just outdoor destinations in general. Yep. And I don't see any reason why these guys aren't just going to crush it. Now, we don't. There's when people call me and say, "How, you know, what do you think is going to happen, or what does your data show you?" The truth is that 80% of our bookings are happening within, you know, 3 days.
Yep.
So we don't know. We don't get people booking 30 days out or 15 days
out. Sure,
so
sure.
What I do is I make a call to a couple of my hotelier friends in different markets and say, "How are your spring looking?"
Yep.
And they'll tell me, you know, it's looking.
So
and
how is it?
They're saying it's pacing about what it has last year, which was prior really to the pandemic.
Yeah.
Kicking off. So I'm thinking it's going to be really good, but even so much better with water sports, because people want to do things outside. They like to be with their family, which they can do that. They can socially distance with these products.
Sure.
So I think it's going to be great. I think there's nothing to say that it wouldn't be.
Well, and your primary market is Florida, and people love Florida, and Florida loves people.
Well, I'm a person about data too, but you can't really say data or current trends or anything like that. I mean, we just had a pandemic year, you know what I'm saying? So too, but I think it is going to be gangbusters. Like, I think people are going to get out to travel. I think there is going to be a surge in airlines, you know what I mean, in destinations too. I still think that there is. I think some people are going to be driving more, but I still think those newer destinations are going to almost have, not newer destinations, but those classic destinations. Like, I think Vegas still, I mean, we need international travel, but there's still people traveling to Vegas for the first time ever, right? I think there's still going to be people going to Florida for the first time ever, stuff like that, and people that haven't gone in a while.
I've seen a lot in the Northeast where I've been up in mountain areas, and it's like the craziest traffic I've ever seen.
Yeah.
People just come from the cities that would have never been, you know what I mean? They're hiking, snowboarding, whatever. Or in the summer was bananas as far as like going, you know, doing activities, just like tubing and stuff, anything outdoors. And I don't see that slowing down. And we had people, I remember talking to people, you know, in Florida last year that had like essentially like a zero. Sorry, that was my child running against hitting the door.
that's what's happening during a pandemic. Fine.
Yeah.
If you need a check on your child,
you know, like right as the pandemic hit, they had a month of essentially zero sales. And then the next month they had their best month in their history of a 20 year business. So, and then they just kept ramping. So I think, which is pretty sick. And so some of these people, you know, that do outdoor rental stuff, I think they're going to continue to kill it.
Yeah.
I, you know, the other thing I had to learn. So I am very fascinated by Destin, Florida. I don't know why, but I am. I think it's an interesting spot. I didn't realize like a lot of your guys' people are yearly travelers. Like they come back year after year after year after year.
They do. Yeah.
That is a, I mean, Vegas has its thing like that, you know, where people come out to Vegas four times a year or do whatever they do. But Vegas is a different beast. When you think about like going to Florida, I mean, your people are just, they come every year and they spend 2 weeks for the summer in Destin. That's incredible. That's crazy.
Kind of like, I guess you'd kind of call them like lake people, like people that do the same type of thing. Like Vegas. Yeah. To your point, like Vegas is like, you come for a business trip, you come for that, that boys trip that you get invited. And then, you know, I think families do come to Vegas. Steve disagrees with me on it.
But I think they should.
He says they should, but I think they do either, but there's different types of trips, but.
Any market that is like a budget friendly and it's predominantly like a drive market, like Destin or Panama City Beach or Myrtle Beach, you're going to see a lot of repeats and families. And you're right. Like we get so many people that come year after year. They do the same thing every year. They rent a boat every year.
Yeah.
And they'll do it for like 10 years straight until their kids get older. And then maybe they stop going as much, or then their families start coming. It's a generational type thing. But yeah, it's a great place to, I would say it's a great place to start a water sport business, but they have a moratorium, in Destin on boat rentals and jet ski rentals. So you have to start one in Fort Walton.
Steve's already like, I'm coming. Like, what do you mean? And Greg's like, there's a moratorium. You can't come.
I'm coming. Fucking Destin.
These people who rent pontoons on a lake and jet skis and stuff, they're making ridiculous monthly numbers. And again, it's the same type of thing in the Northeast. I know that for a fact. That's like different locations, like Winnipesaukee, like I said before, is like people come there every year for, you know, multi-decade generational situations. They'll rent a house, rent a boat every single year, drink some beers, and that's what they do, fish a little bit.
I'm sorry, Luke, I'm not coming to Massachusetts, but I am
in New Hampshire.
I am intrigued, but I love the whole idea of Destin. And like, you know, I'm such a tourist. I just want to go to Crab Island and walk around in the water and go drink beers and be a tourist there. Yeah. So when I come, Greg, I'm dragging your ass out to the water. I mean, I'm going to steal a boat from Destiny. I'm stealing a pontoon and we're going up to Crab Island. But
that's in Fort Walton, but
it's right next door. We're good.
We were always talking about that yesterday.
I got that. I'm coming.
I mean, to go back to the spring break thing, you know what I mean? I mean, do you guys see it from, is there like a 2 week, like where it's like people shouldn't travel there? Like, does it get that kind of crazy? Like Mardi Gras, for example, you know what I mean?
No, not anymore. Okay. I mean, so Panama City Beach was the big spring break. That was probably what most people, you know, when they think spring break, they're going to think Fort Lauderdale, Daytona, or Panama City Beach. But all those three cities have kind of band together to push back on spring break. Really? It started with Fort Lauderdale.
Is that Daytona just this year, or is that a 5 year trend?
Over the past like 10, 15 years, Panama City Beach finally put the nail in the coffin by banning drinking on the beach from March through April, and that just kind of destroyed spring break. And a lot of the clubs went out of business.
Why would they do that though?
Because the city leaders just didn't want that crowd, and they're really? They're trying to attract more families.
I'm gonna look.
I don't disagree. Yeah. With it.
I mean, it's like 1 month at March to April.
I'm sorry.
It's 1 month. It's, you know, they just don't want that.
It's
scene,
like,
huh?
Sturgis kind of, you know what I mean? We relate to Sturgis, you know what I mean? In that sense, that's crazy. I see that. I mean, our era, I mean, you're 35. I always, this is kind of a funny example, but like the Girls Gone Wild spring break set, you know what I mean? I get that was Panama City and stuff like that.
Panama City Beach. Yep. They were, they were there like 3 years in a row. I mean,
that was fun.
You can go both ways. A lot of people, I mean, we were right in the middle of our first few years at Trip Shock when they decided to do it. So a lot of operators were very concerned about how that's going to affect business. In fact, it did great for business because more families were now coming down during that time period. Instead of avoiding it, and we've seen better marches because of spring breakers aren't coming down and spending money on attractions, water sports. They're spending money on McDonald's, convenience stores, and then hotels and maybe some clubs. That's about it. So are they really the guests that we want? Now the people that come and rent or go to Crab Island and rent water sports, I mean, they're spending $500 for a half day on a pontoon boat. They're going to bars and restaurants afterwards. They're spending money on expensive vacation rentals and hotels. Like it's a little rowdy crowd, but they're coming in and spending money. That spring break crowd, I mean, it was pretty bad. I mean, I guess
it makes sense.
See, and that's super interesting you point that out because I do see that in a model. Like we talked about, like for example, like to kind of go on this, we have a client that's in Palm Springs and that's in the Coachella Valley. Okay. So when Coachella goes on, you know what I mean? That's Palm Springs area. And we asked her like, hey, is that a downturn week? You know what I mean? For your business? Or is that a boom or bust week? See, like I would have thought that like Panama City and stuff like that would like the spring break season. It's like setting up shop, grab as much cash as you possibly can, then the rest will come. You know what I mean? But I guess did it have long term, you know what I mean, effects of the area afterwards?
Yeah, it sure did. Mm. You know, the some of the bars and some of the people who worked at bars, you know, they lost a lot of income.
Sure.
In fact, some bars made so much money during those like that month and a half that they probably could shut down the rest of the year and be fine.
Yep.
But it was just not the type of crowd that Panama City wanted to move in. And it's the same type of issues that we have in Destin. Some of the locals don't like what's happening at Crab Island and they're pushing back a little bit.
Really?
But it's a slightly different situation because Crab Island is for families too.
Also
is a lot of partiers.
Is Crab Island as fun looking as it seems? Are you going there?
So I used to go a lot when I was in my early 20s and it was a lot of fun. I lost my wedding ring at Crab Island. It's on the bottom somewhere.
I mean, there's so many setups for that. Like, I don't even want to troll you about losing your wedding ring at Crab Island.
Hey, I saw your Facebook. Where do people get? And you got a new wedding ring, didn't you? I saw that picture.
I got a new one.
That's funny.
I basically the one I was wearing was the one I got immediately after I lost it at a pawn shop, and I've just been wearing that for 10. Hold on,
that's a story I want to hear. You lost it at a pawn shop.
No, I think you bought a new one. Lost at a
Crab Island. Bought it at a
pawn shop. Oh, gotcha. That's an interesting story.
I
bought it
at a pawn shop. I just finally got a new one, but. Yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's like Mardi Gras on the water. I mean, in the mornings, it's more family based. It's a big sandbar. And then around 1 o'clock, it turns into a pretty heavy party atmosphere.
Yeah, it's like camping 4th of July. You know what I mean? People do those lake resorts and stuff like
Luke, that's why I'm not coming to New Hampshire. I've never seen a photo of New Hampshire that seemed as fun as Crab Island.
Crab Island has changed the dynamics of Destin because typically a group of guys would come down to Destin and they might go charter fishing because charter fishing is really big here.
Yeah. Yeah.
But let me tell you something. When a group of like 23, 24 year old single guys are walking the harbor and they see a ton of girls get on these boats and they're going to Crab Island, they're not spending $2,000 to go out for an 8-hour trip and get beat up on the water. They're going to go spend $500 for the 12 of them and go to Crab Island and take in the sights
and lose their wedding.
So it's changed. It really has changed in the dynamics of how people come here. What are people doing? And it's a huge like bachelorette party spot. There's a Crab Island Instagram page, which you guys might've seen.
I'm on it. I'm like the top contributor.
You'll see what happens there. It's like a big, there's supermodels, NFL players, All these different people come here. A lot of musicians like Florida Georgia Line. They were there one time. I mean, just tons. Every week I see some new celebrity that's there.
That sounds fantastic. It's a big deal. I don't even know how that sounds not fun.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, it's kind of like Nashville. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I get. Well, it's like a lot of destinations. I mean, I get why people hate it, and then people also like it.
I didn't tell you, Greg, we're opening up a Destin, Florida office. We're looking to rent some office space right next to you guys.
Oh.
Yeah, nice. We're going to, I mean, I need to get out to Crab Island, so it seems like the only option is a Destin, Florida office. So it's totally strategic. Uh-huh. It's going to be great.
There's a lot of office space here.
Pontoon and just float around and you can work
remotely. That's remote. That's kind of what you do. Like, you can work from a pontoon, right, Luke?
I am right now, actually.
On a houseboat or what?
Just on a houseboat.
Actually, one of those fake backgrounds, and then I'm just floating on a pontoon in the ice lake. So right now.
It sounds like it's probably, is the weather shitty in Florida or in Destin right now?
No, the weather is 80 degrees it's like warmer. 50s. Yeah. It's like 50s now. It's cold. I mean, it's colder than it typically is.
Okay.
But it's manageable. You're not going in the water right now.
Do you guys ever get snow?
I had like a dusting one time in the past 10 years.
Do you see that? The Galveston, Texas?
Yeah, that's why I'm like, oh my God, I can't.
Talk so much about Trip Shock. We didn't get to talk about the snow in Texas, you know?
I mean, that's way more. Luke, I bet you have snow.
Yeah, it's cold there.
Yeah, that's
cold.
Fun.
It's cold. Well, cool, guys. Well, how do we, I got your wave res. We're going to post that down here in the link. You know, people contact you guys anytime, reach out, check out Greg's podcast as well. The Awkward Water Sports Guys podcast, and, hit up Luke. And if you want to talk about a booking software, cause I think Wave Res is great. We have one of our websites, Luther's Pontoon, that has it on there too. So check that out. And, thanks guys for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, it was great having you.
I appreciate, talking shop with you guys.
It's fun.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Thank you guys. And, reach out.
Cool.
We're coming to Massachusetts. Just wait.
Massachusetts or Crab Island? What are you going for?
Both. Crab Island.
Yeah.
See me in Crab Island. I'll be on the boat right here.
See you guys next time.